11. Everybody knows this chapter, the chapter of faith. Today we're going to focus on a man named Enoch. If you've not heard of him, you probably haven't been saved a while. If you have been saved a while, you've definitely heard of Enoch. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're going to focus on that phrase at the end of verse 5. That'll be our title. He pleased God. Amen? Let's pray. We love you so much, Lord. We can't praise you enough for the privilege of meeting here, you providing us a place to meet and preserving and providing your word for us to have. And now as we open it together, may the Holy Spirit speak to each of our hearts about this matter of pleasing you. May that be our desire, our goal, until you come. I pray you would work miracles in lives today. And Lord, if there's someone not saved, may they realize Jesus said you must be born again. Have your will and way in every heart. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. He starts there in verse 4 by talking about Abel, but I only brought in that verse because I wanted to show you that faith is action. Now, you've heard over and over again that love is action. We pretty much beat that one to death, right? Because the Bible says so. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth, 1 John 3:18. But faith is also action. And if you look at Hebrews 11, we have this word offered there in verse 4. Well, that's an action verb, isn't it? Look down in verse 7. We'll see it again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark. So that's an action verb, to prepare something, isn't it? Over in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive his for inheritance, obeyed. He left his homeland. That's action. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. There's an action verb again. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, they did things. Amen? So faith isn't just like a feeling. I believe in God. Faith is moving forward, knowing that it's God's will, and knowing that God is with you, and knowing that God will bless what he called you to do. Faith is action. And Enoch, unlike many others in the Bible, there's only other person who enjoyed this amazing privilege, of course, was Elijah. Enoch didn't have to die. Can you imagine? Enoch was translated. Now, we could spend some time talking about how he's a picture of the rapture and so forth. That's not really important today. What's important is that he had a testimony. Amen? Notice it says, he was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Now, the whole chapter is about having faith in God and moving forward by faith. And Enoch had a testimony of faith. What is our testimony? We'll look at Isaiah 3:8 and we'll see what Israel's testimony was. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. Your testimony is something that is very precious, that you need to protect, and that the devil wants to destroy. Isaiah 3, 8. For Jerusalem is ruined, Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. That was their testimony. What they said and what they did was against the Lord. We don't want to get to the end of our lives and have that be our testimony, do we? That how we acted or the things that we said were against the Lord, against his word. But that was their testimony. God wants us to have a testimony that actually impacts people. Amen? Look at Matthew 5:16 and we'll see this. Paul was very aware in his ministry about his testimony. He often talked about the dangers of losing sight of that. And he said, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There in 1 Corinthians 9:27. In other words, I would hate to lose my testimony as one of God's servants, as one of God's missionaries and church planters. I would hate that. Jesus told us here in Matthew 5:16, what? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If your testimony influences people to glorify God, that's a good thing. Amen? If your testimony leads people to other things, whatever that might be, that does not bring God glory. Our testimony should influence people that they say, glory to God. Hallelujah. That should be our testimony. And Enoch had an amazing testimony. If you look at 1 Corinthians 9:12, Paul talked about his own testimony and how he was always conscious about the possibilities of his testimony hindering the gospel. Notice 1 Corinthians 9:12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Here he's talking about that he had the power to take money from the churches, but he didn't utilize that power because he wanted to stay up above, and so he was a tent maker. Anyway, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. He said we went above and beyond wherever we went, because the last thing we ever wanted to do was hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, all of us have witnessed to people who don't want to hear about the gospel. And often their reason is, now, if Christians are like the Christian that I know at work or that I know next door who are just hypocrites, I don't want to know. We've all heard this before, haven't we? That's a Christian whose testimony is hindering the gospel of Christ. Do we want to get to heaven and that be the case? No. We want our testimony to be like Enoch's testimony, that we pleased God. Amen? You and I are now a family. We are children of light. God says in Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. Let your walk line up with your profession. Let your testimony be one of someone who is saved, who is born again, who is a child of God. And so what was Enoch's testimony? Let's go back to it here in Hebrews 11:5. What was this testimony? What an amazing testimony that he pleased God. Yes, Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and we're coming up on possibly the seventh 1,000-year period of man's history, and he's a picture of the rapture and all that. All that aside, imagine pleasing God so much that God says, you know what, you don't have to die. I'm just going to bring you on to heaven without death. That was Enoch's case. Imagine having such a testimony. He pleased God so much that God said, come on. Moses didn't even get that privilege, did he? Moses was another man that God loved dearly, but God, when he said you can't go to the promised land, he brought him up in Deuteronomy 34, showed him the promised land, and then it says he killed him and buried him and took him to heaven. He had to die. Enoch didn't have to die. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Now, obviously, faith was one of the reasons, and we'll talk about that in a moment in verse 6. But let's look at some other scriptures that teach about having a testimony that pleases God. Go to Romans 8:8, and there's just three scriptures I want to show you this morning. And I would hope that every believer has this desire please God. Amen? We're not here to please man, and we're not here to please ourselves. We're here to please God, which means we're here to obey God's word, to serve God with the gifts and the strength and the time he's given us. We're here to please God. Romans 8:8. Look what it says. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're doing a study in Patatadu on Thursday nights about having victory. And one of the things we're looking at is at any given time, we as Christians are either walking in the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit. There's no middle ground. There's no mixture. You can't say, I'm doing both. Nope. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. And if you are walking in the Spirit, you are not walking in the flesh. Because you know what? Galatians 5:17 says the Spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. They do not get along, and they never will, until we leave this body. God says we cannot please him in the flesh. Can't do it. So if our behavior in any way reflects fleshly things, fleshly wisdom, fleshly desires, whatever, that is not the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen? So the first thing we see here is you cannot please God unless you're walking in the Spirit. Secondly, 2 Timothy 2:4, if you'll turn there quickly. 2 Timothy 2:4, we're talking here about the fact that you and I are now soldiers in God's army. And he says, no man that warreth, that's us. Who are we fighting? Not each other. We're fighting the devil. Amen? We're fighting this world for the cause of lost souls. But look what he says. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so if we let ourselves get entangled in the things of the world, we cannot please God. God wants us to be efficient soldiers. Untangled. Amen? And then lastly, Hebrews 13, verse 16. And then we'll move on to verse 6 of our passage. Hebrews 13, 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, if you read the context of this passage, that word communicate, it is not talking about talking. That's not how God used the translators used the word 400 years ago. It means how we treat each other. That's communicating. And God says that we are to communicate. In other words, we're to love others through our actions. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Amen. John 13:35. And so if we're not loving others through our actions, we cannot please God. But the biggest thing is verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Let's look there. Without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please him. Amen? What was Enoch's testimony? That he pleased God. And then God says in the next verse, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We cannot please God in the flesh. We cannot please God if we get entangled in the affairs of this life. We cannot please God if we are not loving one another through our actions. But we definitely cannot please God without faith, which is what the whole chapter is about. If you go to Matthew 13 and verse 58, Jesus, when he was on earth, of course, he worked many, many miracles. But when he went to a place called Nazareth, we've all heard of that, right? That's where he grew up. And during his ministry, he went back to where he grew up And look what it says, verse 58 of 13. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He went on to say later, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. The people of Nazareth said, well, who's Jesus? We grew up with Jesus. Why should we listen to what he has to say? And he could not do many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. They didn't have faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore he could not work miracles in that town. Jesus told us, if you go to Matthew 21:22, that is the key to answered prayer. Matthew 21, look down at verse 22. All things, we always love that word all, especially when it comes to prayer. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, look at this next word, believing you shall receive. Amen? That's faith. God says, if you don't believe, I'm not going to answer. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch had a testimony. He pleased God. Don't you want to get to the end of your Christian life and stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? That should be our desire. Is from now, and yeah, okay, maybe we've made some mistakes, maybe we've stumbled. Today's a new day, you're still alive, God hasn't taken you home yet. So from now forward, you can say, you know what? I'm going to please God. I'm not going to try to please my flesh, and I'm not going to try to please man. I'm going to please God. That should be our testimony. That should be our desire, is that we please God. Go back to that verse, Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God must believe that, first of all, that he is. In other words, if you don't believe that there's a God, you can't be saved. That's obvious, isn't it? And you know what John says in John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You're already going there. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. You're condemned already. So that's where it begins. You must believe that he is. Amen? He is. That we have a God, that he is our creator, that he's only one God, that he's almighty, and that he's all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. We must believe that he is, but also, verse 6, that he is a rewarder. In other words, he's involved in the lives of his children. He's not a passive God. He doesn't just sit up there and say, you go do whatever you want and I'll see you when you get to heaven. That's not God. God pays attention. God is involved in our lives. God controls the trials and so forth that he allows in our lives to teach and grow us. And he is a rewarder. There's so much he wants to reward us with. I believe lack of faith holds those things back. Do we really want to get to heaven? And, you know, we've all heard the story where God takes us to our mansion. Then he takes us to another building and says, oh, this is all the stuff I wanted to give you if you would have just had faith. We don't want that, do we? I want my mansion to be full, amen, with a trout stream in the backyard. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Look at Revelation 22:12. I mean, you laugh, but the river of life, is it clear? Is it cold? I mean, come on. Revelation 22:12. Look what God says. Jesus talking about coming back. He says, behold, I come quickly. Look what he says. And my reward is with me. Isn't that good? I have a reward for those who, what? Have faith. For those who please God. For those who believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus is coming back to reward us Now, he didn't have to do that. All of us would say, heaven's enough. Thank you, Lord. He didn't have to reward us beyond heaven. Just spending forever with God is enough. But no, he says, I will reward you if you will please me. But he finishes there in Hebrews 11:6. Not just believe that he is, and not just believe that he's a rewarder, but he's a rewarder of them what? Diligently seek him. He's still referring to Enoch, who pleased God, and he was translated because his testimony was that he pleased God. Enoch was a man that diligently sought God. Now, we don't know a lot about Enoch, but one day we will, when we get to shake his hand or give him a hug. Those that diligently seek him. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. David in Psalm 63, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. David sought. He diligently sought God. We saw that in our Sunday school class this morning. That when David prayed, why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he was always seeking God. His prayers weren't just for show. His prayers were spending time fellowshipping with his Creator. Are we diligently seeking God through faith? Do we believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? God's desire is that our testimony be, like Enoch's, that we please God. You cannot please God in the flesh. You cannot please God if you get entangled with the affairs of this life. You cannot please God if you're not loving others through your actions, because that's genuine love. And you definitely cannot please God, verse 6, without faith. It's impossible. We often say, with God, all things are possible. Amen? God says some things are impossible, not because God can't do them, but because of us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So shouldn't our desire be, I want to please God? My friend, if you set out to please God, your life is going to be so blessed. I'm not saying God's going to translate you to heaven, because I think those days are gone. He might do it through the rapture, hallelujah, but he will definitely bless you. Because that's what this chapter is all about, isn't it? The blessings that all these people received, the victories that they experienced because of faith. They just believed God. That's what God wants. He wants us to please him by believing him. That should be our desire, is that our testimony be just that one thing. I pleased God. Amen? Nothing else is as important as just, I want to please God. How do you do that? Just be faithful to this. Amen? Be faithful to prayer. God will lead you and guide you and show you how to please him. But that was Enoch's testimony. What a reward. Translated that he should not see death. His testimony was what? He pleased God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love you. We thank you for this example from the life of Enoch. Thank you, Lord, that you put this in your word to teach us that you care. Lord, that you've already blessed us with salvation, but that you have a desire that we seek to please you with our lives, with our behavior, with our walk. And I pray that that's what we would set out to do, just please God. Thank you for speaking to us through your precious and powerful word. Again, if there's someone not born again, may they realize Jesus said, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Have your will in our